We're going to start talking about, for a while now, we're going to talk about the faith of Jesus. Is that all right with you? We're going to talk about the faith of Jesus, if I can get this thing to get off landscape. If you would, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Do you know, when Jesus was alive, he was a man, right? He was born of a virgin, is what the Bible says. He was a man. Hebrews says that he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, right? He got hungry, like everybody else, right? He got hungry. Only people with a body get hungry. He was not some super spirit man that was some sort of demigod that was impervious to life. When he looked at Jerusalem, he said, he wept and said, how often, right? He looked at Israel. When Lazarus died, he was moved. He was moved by compassion. Jesus was a man like everybody else, born into this world. But he went and he was suffered, right? He was beaten. And he was killed. And he had to have faith that what he was going through was the plan of God. Otherwise, he couldn't say, I do only those things I see my Father do, and I speak only the things I hear my Father say. Right? He had to have faith that when he died, the Father was going to resurrect him again. He said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it, to fulfill the law and the prophets. So he had to fulfill everything that was written about him, and he had to fulfill all that was foretold about him. And in doing that, he understood, and he told his disciples, this temple is going to be destroyed, but I'll raise it back up again in 3 days. You have to have faith that when you die, you're going to raise again, especially if you're Jesus. You know, it's the same for all of us when we get saved. Somebody said, you know, Jesus loved you, and the Spirit of God began tugging at your heart, and he died for you, and the Spirit of God started moving on your heart, and you began to believe it. Where did it happen? It happened in your heart. It didn't happen up here. See, the Scripture tells us that the devil knows Scripture, right? He knows, but he doesn't have an understanding of it. There's not a heart concept for it. We have a heart concept for what Jesus has done. We have a heart concept. We can go back and we believe the Scriptures, and we can look in Genesis chapter 3, and it says God warned Satan. He said, you have one that's going to crush his foot, his heel, but I have one that's going to crush your head. Right from the very beginning, God knew what he was doing. Amen? Did you have a question? Oh, you're just raising your hand. Glory to God. Somebody get a hanky and wave it, you know? None of you have ever been in a Southern church, huh? Only in movies? So Jesus had to believe when he went to the grave that God was going to raise him up. We have the same source, the same spirit on the inside of us that Jesus had and that Jesus was led by. If he didn't have the same thing that we have, if he had an unfair advantage, it's okay. If he had an unfair advantage, then it's impossible for us to be on the same level, that we could live as he lived, that we could do as he did, that we could. Did anybody ever walk on water? I have never walked on water. I saw a video of a dog that looked like it was running on water, you know, but eventually that dog sank, just like Peter did. But Jesus walked on water. How did he do it? Did he do it because he was God? No, he did it as a man with a flesh body who had faith. Faith is of the heart. Oh, well, hold your place in Mark and go over to Romans with me. It's not your first time here, right? You know how I go. Romans 10. Verses 9 and 10. We've got to read verse 8 because it's in context. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart, where? in the heart, believe in the heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, that word right there, believe, is the same word used as faith. It's used interchangeably throughout the New Testament. Believe and faith are the same word, and they have the same meaning. It has something to do with your heart. When you believe in your heart, even when you don't really understand it with your mind, can I fully grasp what Jesus did for me in my mind? I mean, I can't really imagine. We have the movie The Passion, and I have never watched it because I am just afraid I'll be a hot mess. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to just be a hot mess. I mean, I'm a hot mess watching The War Room. We have never watched it. I just know that it's going to be like a six box of tissue kind of experience for me. Because when I think about what he's done, when I read in Isaiah 53 what he was going to do, when I read the accounts in the Gospels of what he went through, it's sufficient for me. I don't need to see the holes and the piercings in his hands and his feet. It's sufficient for me because I heard about it. And if you've ever stubbed your toe, you can get a grasp of pain. And the pain that he had was so severe. What he went through, the suffering that he went through. Oh, come on. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart. Faith is of the heart. It's not of the mind. Faith doesn't generate, it doesn't come from, it doesn't start in, and it's not experienced in the brain. It's experienced and it comes from the heart. Faith is of the heart. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. Faith is of the heart. Let's go back to Romans. Well, no, we ought to read something else first. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, they all know this. I don't know if you guys know this. My wife and I are graduates from Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we graduated from the pastor's group. I've been here for almost 2 years and I've never preached just on faith before. Because there's so many other areas, and the building up of faith comes from the hearing of the word. Right? Hearing the word brings faith, it imparts faith. Hebrews 11:6. Can you tell me what it says right there? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. That means it is not possible to please God outside of faith. You know, I can come to church, and I can sing songs, and I can read along in my Bible, and I can say all the right things, and I can do all the right stuff outwardly. But in my heart, if I'm not in faith with it, I'm not pleasing. What does it say in 1 Corinthians? I can give everything I have to the poor. I can give myself to be burned. But if I have no love, I'm wasting my time. Do you know how you have love? Do you know how faith works? Faith works by love. That's what Scripture says. Faith works by love. Without love, I'm nothing. I'm a clanging cymbal. I have to have love to have faith, because faith works by love. God, we talked about this not last week. We talk about it often all the time. God is love. He lives in me. If love lives in me, I'm love. And if I don't act like love, I might have some immaturity problems. I can be saved and not acting in love in certain situations. See, you know, somebody said, had this question, do you believe that if a person has love that they can't hate? Absolutely. If love is in me, I can't hate you. Scripture says, if you say you hate your brother, but you love me, then you don't know me. Faith works by love. Without faith, though, it is impossible to please God. Without believing what he says, without trusting and putting our hope, without putting our confidence, without putting our, not in this, we put our hope in what's here, But ultimately, our hope isn't what's in this book. If somebody took the book away from you, you still have faith in him, because our faith is to him, for him, and from him, through him. Okay, let's go back to Mark now. Mark chapter 9. Okay, this is the account. Jesus has gone up with a couple of his disciples. They're on the mount. Jesus is transfigured. He's all glorified and he's shiny. I mean, and you know, and he's got a couple of the Old Testament saints up there with him, and they're hanging out and talking, right? In the meantime, a man who has a son who is possessed of a devil, who throws himself on the ground, who tosses himself in the fire and in the water and tries to kill him all the time, has gone to Jesus' disciples. Jesus has sent his disciples out, right? They went out in two by two, went out throughout the land. They were welcomed. They preached the gospel, right? They healed the sick. So Jesus' disciples have been in the practice, in the process. They've been doing the works, right? That's what Scripture tells us. They've been out doing it. Jesus hadn't even been to the cross yet. He hasn't even sent the Holy Spirit yet. But they have faith in Jesus. They have faith that if he says to do something, it's going to happen. Well, Jesus is coming back down the mountain. Yeah, let's start in verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Wherever he taketh him, he teareth him, tosses him around. And he foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth, and he's pining away. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And what did Jesus do? He said, okay, well, it's all right. Let's work on this again. Let's start over at step A. No. Jesus answered and said, O faithless generation, how long? Shall I have to be with you? If you came to me and you said, I tried this and it didn't work out, and I said to you, that's because you don't have any faith. How many of you, if I said that to you, would get up and walk out? But this is Jesus. He's saying it to his disciples. You faithless generation, how long do I have to do this with you? He called them faithless. He said, you unbelievers. Did you get that? Because if you're in faith, you're of the faith. You're in the faith. You're in faith. You're a believer. If you are without faith, you are an unbeliever. We always like to call ourselves believers, right? Because we believe on Jesus Christ for salvation. We believe that. But who does Jesus put the responsibility on for this? He doesn't say it's my fault because I didn't teach you right. He doesn't say it's God's fault. He just didn't want to heal this boy. Oh, he just had a better... Jesus didn't say, oh, God just has a better plan for this boy. There's a better time for him to be saved. There's a better time for him... No, he did not say that. He put the responsibility back on them. They've been with him. They've been walking with him. They've gone out and performed miracles. He didn't say, you know, sometimes, well, you just never know with God. You never know. Oh, the secret things belong to God. Well, yeah, in some cases, the secret things belong to him. But when it comes to healing, by his stripes, you were healed. Go around casting out devils in my name, right? You're going to speak in new tongues in my name. These are all things that Jesus said. They're things that you do and we're supposed to do by faith. Does faith ever end? Because if faith ever ends, then there's no way to please God. See, like some people, you're like, you know, when the last apostle died, that's when tongues and the gifts of the Spirit went away. Well, if that's true, they're by faith. That means it's impossible to have faith, because Jesus said you're going to speak in new tongues, right? By faith. So if I say that I can't speak in tongues, then that means there's no faith for that. Okay. Alrighty. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things not seen, the evidence of things hoped for. Faith is of the heart. It's based on things you can't see. I believe in Hebrews 11:6 it said, for without faith it is impossible to believe, to please God, because you have to believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of faith, right? Right? Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to believe, to please God without faith, for you have to believe, we have to believe that when we come to him, that he is real. Now, most people believe in a God that is somewhere out there distant, who may or may not have intervened or created and started everything going, and now has left us here on our own, did send Jesus to save us, but still, we've got this far out there somewhere God that's distant, and he's not really wanting to be a part of our everyday lives. But he is. He lives in us. And how do I know that he lives in me? Because it says in the scripture that his spirit dwells in me. So how do I experience that? I experience it by believing it in my heart. Because sometimes my head, I'm going to tell you, my head does not feel like God's anywhere near me. Right? But in my heart, I believe by faith that the Spirit of God dwells in me. If I believe that he dwells in me, then I'm believing he is, I'm believing he's in me, right? Now I also believe that he's a rewarder of faith, because what I do is I believe that I'm saved, right? And that what is my reward for receiving him as my Lord? Sin is not imputed to me anymore. I've now become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right? What's going to happen to me when I depart this body? Scripture says to absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So what's going to happen? I believe by faith that even if the Lord should not return and that we should have a rapture and I should be taken out, when I leave this body, where am I going? I'm going to be with him. That's an act of faith. I don't have proof in my brain. I mean, you can't go to school for that, where they just drill it into you enough that you have faith now. But when we read scripture, we assume and we believe that if God is real and he's a rewarder of faith, that no matter what the circumstances look like, because God never said he's going to give you a rose garden, did he? No. What he did was he said, even in the presence of your enemies, he prepares a feast for you. So no matter what we're going through, if we have faith, if we're trusting in him and believing in him, that no matter what we're going through, he's with us, right? Paul was getting ready to make a missionary journey, right? Remember, he was getting on the boat, and God said, the boat's doomed. But if you'll just follow my directions, everything's going to work out fine for you. God didn't say, you're on this missionary trip, and because of that, I'm just going to supernaturally bless this thing so that nothing goes wrong and that nothing happens. What is it? I posted yesterday on Facebook that if you have to believe that everything is going to go right for you and you're never going to have any problems, then your world view is very small, right? I mean, look at all of the disciples, the apostles. You read through in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Did they all just, you know, give up the ghost quietly at home in bed? No. I love John. I wish I could be more like John. John knew that Jesus loved him so much, they couldn't even kill him. They tried to crucify him. They tried to boil him in oil. And the only plan they could come up with was to put him on an island with a bunch of criminals. And there he gets one of his greatest revelations of Jesus Christ ever. And it, you know, it's life-changing. You know? We like to say, you know, because I come from the faith background, and people say, well, if you can believe, you can receive, and I believe that. But I also believe that we're gonna encounter troubles. We're gonna encounter tough times. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but do not fear, for I have overcome the world, so that when you're going through the tribulation, right? Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it's possible, take this away so I don't have to do it. But it was the only way, right? Sometimes things happen. Now, trust me, God is never going to call you on the phone and say, it's time for the second sacrifice. I'm offering you up as the secondary sin sacrifice. Okay? It's not going to happen. Okay? I know. Years ago, the devil used to have just heyday in my brain, and he'd say, "Well, you know, you're called to be the Antichrist." I'm like, "Oh, that's horrible. Why?" Well, I don't fit the bill at all for that. So, okay, all right, verse 20. Let's start in verse 19 again. I just love the way Jesus talks to people. "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer with you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him. And this is the kind of conversation I always hate, you know, you're having with your wife. And then she said, to her, and you're like, "I'm sorry, who are you talking about?" Okay. "Then they brought Jesus to the man. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tore at him, and the boy fell on the ground and wallowed around, foaming at the mouth." Yeah, this is just exactly how you want your first mission, your first ministry experience to be, right? You're going onto campus, and so you walk in, and the first experience they have is some guy falls on the ground, foaming at the mouth. This is awesome. "And he asked his father, 'How long ago since this has come on him?' And he said of the child, 'And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' Jesus said unto him, 'If thou can,'" if I can, if you can, if I can, if you can, "all things are possible to him that believes." All things are possible to him who has belief in the heart, who has faith in the heart. All things are possible. If God has given you faith, and he has, and you have faith in your heart, all things are possible. It might take 25 years. Ask Abraham and Sarah. Right? I mean, God is patient, long-suffering. He took almost 4,000 years, right, before what he prophesied in the garden actually came to fruition, didn't it? Sometimes we have to be patient and wait. It's not our nature to just want to sit around and wait. I'm old enough to remember. I've come through a lot of this. When I was a kid, we didn't have internet. Then you had internet with dial-up. I can still hear the tone in my head. And then you lost the line. And then you had to go back and do it again. Right? And then you had a computer, and it had like, it was a 5 megabyte drive. Wow. I think my key has that. Right? And my dad has told me, he says, "Oh, we had this," when he worked for the Forest Service, they had this computer. And it was the size of this whole room he was describing. And it was basically a glorified calculator. That's all it did. It ran calculations, right? So then you come up, and what? I was a kid. When I was little, they didn't have microwaves. Then the microwave comes out, right? And now you can put an egg in the microwave. You got to stir it up first because the yolk will pop and it'll explode all over everything in the microwave. So don't try that. But you could do that, and you could different ways. And things began to speed up and get faster, and then the internet got faster and faster. And then, I started out, I had a BlackBerry Pearl. I'm like, "Oh, man, this is amazing. I love my BlackBerry Pearl." And then then iPhone comes out, and the HTC and all these others, and everything gets faster and faster all the time. You're walking around, and you've got your phone, and you're talking to 8 people at the same time, I love it. But everything doesn't work out like that. When it comes to technology, we can depend to a certain degree. I think we've got this computer back here that every other week it decides it doesn't, it's going to change its proxy settings and doesn't want to connect to the internet, even though it's clearly connected to the internet. You know what I'm saying? Everything isn't always going to run, and everything is not just always going to be right there, but that's where patience comes in with faith. Faith is of the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto salvation. And straight away, verse 24, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He had belief in his heart. He believed what Jesus said to him. All things are possible to him who believes. He said, but help my unbelief. This isn't, you know, one of those, oh, you know, I believe, but, you know, I'm just doubting in my heart. No, this is one of those, come on. When you have a 13-ounce baby and they say she's going to die, you get a lot of thoughts in your head, but faith is still in the heart. Nope. God, that's not going to happen. When they say you're never going to have children, because this is always going to happen. No, God promised us children. When he says you're going to have a son, and then you get pregnant and you lose the son. No, that wasn't him. And you wait, and you continue to have faith. And then if you're lucky like me, God will speak to you and say, and he'll say, you keep saying this, right? You keep saying, we're going to have a son and we're going to name him Josiah. But then you also keep saying it takes forever for us to get pregnant. It's so hard for us to get pregnant, right? We're corrected by faith. If I didn't believe by faith that God lived in my heart, I wouldn't be open to him speaking to me in my heart so that I could hear him and be corrected. I'm being led by the Spirit. It's in the heart. Romans 11 says that the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in our hearts. It again says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. Faith works by love. I don't have a love problem. I got God on the inside. I got the love of God on the inside. What I've got is a failure to connect with what God tells me when things don't go right. When God says things are going to be a certain way, and we decide after a short amount of time, well, that's not working. Let's try something different. And then we walk away from faith. Faith is of the heart. It's important for us not to let go of the things that are in the heart. The man here, he tries to put the responsibility of his faith on Jesus. I believe, help my unbelief. Now, again, all things are possible to him who believes. This is almost exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden. Well, it was that woman you gave me. Well, it was the serpent. Well, ultimately, it's your fault because you gave me the woman. So let's once again put the blame back on God. Well, I was believing for that, and it didn't happen. I guess God just didn't want it. I can't tell you, and honestly, you know, people who say, well, you know, I went forward for prayer for that one time and I didn't get healed, so I guess God just doesn't want to heal me. So then what you're telling me then is that God is a respecter of persons. Right? I mean, if you went forward and got prayed for and you didn't receive your healing, then clearly it's God's fault. He decided that he has a better path for you to walk out in the sickness and disease in your body, and the suffering is somehow going to help you draw closer to him. Come on, how many people have actually heard people say that? Come on, right? Then that means God's a respecter of persons, but Scripture tells us that God is not a respecter of persons. What he is he's a rewarder of faith. And if I go forward because there's a prayer line, and I go forward, and I don't have any faith for healing, and I get prayed for, and I go, well, it still hurts. I guess I didn't get healed. I guess God didn't want to heal me, right? I have faith. Help my unbelief. Help my faithlessness, right? Who does Jesus put the responsibility on for faith? Us. Listen, if this was just a matter of God being able to unilaterally go around, we could just get rid of all of the atheists, all of the other religions. God could just reveal himself to the world, right? And then everybody's going to go, oh my God, you're real, right? Right? I mean, that cures all atheism right there, right? Oh, you're real. But where's faith? Where's faith in that? Where's faith in Thomas saying, I will not believe? Right? That's an act of the will. I will not believe unless I see. That's the atheist. I won't believe in God unless you can prove he's real. I'm not coming to church unless you can prove that God shows up. Come on, God shows up. Scripture says, wherever two or more of you are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. Right? Is he here? Was he here this morning during worship, during praise? Come on, he's here. We're here in his name. Amen? So he's here. He's here. We have to believe he's here. It's up to us. Faith is of the heart. Isaiah actually says that God hides himself. Otherwise, if he didn't hide himself, if he just had a permanent throne, you know, I think of like, you know, the ancient Greek mythology and all of their gods and all of these giant pantheons that they built to worship him with these statues of the gods on their thrones. What if God was like that for real right now? Where's faith? Nowhere. It doesn't take faith to believe something you can see. I don't need faith to believe that chair's there. It's there. Sometimes you look at a certain chair and you think, it's going to take faith to believe that I can sit in that chair and it's not going to fall apart. You know what I'm saying? I don't. What is the weight standard for that one? Okay? All right. I can't, you can't, we can't put all of our responsibility on Jesus for moving mountains. I can't, you can't, we can't make him the sole responsibility for ourselves. Well, you know, things aren't working out. I guess Jesus doesn't want that for me. But he's the one who said, if you'll speak to the mountain, it'll be cast into the sea. He didn't say, if you'll trust me, I'll move the mountain for you. It was one of the songs a couple of the gals were talking about wanting to sing in church. And I said, well, I don't think we want to do that one. And Deb asked me, she said, well, why not? And I said, well, because the song says, if you believe God, he'll move the mountains for you. She said, is that wrong? I said, well, that's not what Scripture says. He said, you speak to the mountain and it will be cast into the sea. He didn't say, if you believe me, I'll cast the mountain into the sea for you. So if we sing a song that says, if you believe, God will cast your mountains into the seas, what are we putting our faith in? In the lyrics in a song. Our faith has to be based on Scripture. Right? If I got up here and I just told you everything that happened to me every week and said, you know, I just love God and I just know everything's going to turn out okay. Well, we might be happy. Oh, God, just going to turn everything out okay. But he said, if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be opened unto you. He didn't say, if you go stand in the hallway, eventually I'm going to open another door or a window for you. Did he? Oh, did I step on a toe on that one? I know some people like that. Where God closes one door, he opens another. No, he said, you open the door. You ask, you seek, you knock. You knock, it'll be opened unto you. God puts the responsibility on us. We've talked about this. Ephesians, he says he has done everything for us. He has made a way in everything for us who believe. What do we have to believe? We have to believe he is a rewarder of faith. When we put our faith in him, we believe that he rewards us, and that when we believe that certain things are going to be moved out of our way, he's going to take care of it. We're believing him. We're putting our faith in him. We're putting our faith in the name of Jesus, right? In my name, you will cast out devils, right? In my name, you will heal the sick. In my name, you will speak in new tongues. In his name, by faith. When Jesus saw that the people were running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried out and rent his sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And he was when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately why they could not cast out. Faith got that spirit out. Faith fixed the problem. Mark 11. I'm hot. This okay? Oh, it doesn't matter if it's not. Well, it's the truth. I get all kinds of problems with different kinds of exegeticals and blah, blah, blahs. Mark 11, 22. Notice that it's in your Bible too. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not what? Doubt in his heart. Not doubt in his brain, but doubt in his heart. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Who's the responsibility on? Me. Me. Have faith in God. If you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, this is what's going to happen, and you don't doubt in your heart that that's what's going to happen, you're going to see the result. You're going to believe in your heart. You're going to say with your mouth, mountain be removed. I love this. When Kathy was a teenager and they were at Peters Creek church up there in Alaska, and this church has this beautiful facility, but they needed to expand the parking lot, but there was a mountain. It was a literal mountain. And it was going to cost so much money for them to expand the parking lot and get rid of this mountain. So they got together and they prayed and they commanded the mountain to be moved. Shortly after that, a construction company comes and they want to take the dirt that's that mountain and use it for a construction property. Right? And they paid the church for the dirt. Right? Come on. They prayed. They cast the mountain. A construction company comes and takes the mountain, clearing the way for a parking lot, and paid them. That's double for your trouble, remember? Every time I pass by that building. Come on. You believe it with your heart. You say it with your mouth. I believed in my heart, Jesus is Lord. I say Jesus is Lord. Even sometimes when I don't feel like it up here, when I'm struggling up here, right? I say it and it comes from my heart. No, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord over this situation. Jesus is Lord concerning this problem. Jesus is Lord over it. I make him Lord. He doesn't make himself Lord over me. Husbands, we don't lord over our wives. Right? Come on. Hey, listen. She's just as much the body of Christ as you are. That's right. So is he. Okay. In verse 22, it says, have faith in God. This is clinical stuff here. We're going to read some clinical stuff. The word have is the Greek word exite. That word is the imperative for to possess or contain, have or own, with the understood subject of you or y'all. Right? Y'all? The word's nuances include take hold of something or to grip, or of holding someone or something's hand. Okay? Have means to take hold of. Right? Have, take hold of. I love you too, sweetheart. To grip or holding something, someone's hands. This definition comes from a Greek English lexicon of the New Testament, blah, 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 blah. To have or possess, control over, to have, to own, to possess, to belong to. Possess, take hold of, have the faith, or literally in this process, for instance, means exactly possess the faith of God. Have, take hold of, grasp, make your own the faith of God. Grab, hold, have the faith of God. Where does faith come from? It comes from God. It comes from His Word. Jesus is the Word, right? He is the Word. God lives in me. If God lives in me, whose faith is on the inside of me? His. Take hold of, using, grasp, make your own, possess the faith of God. God, who created all things by the power of His Word, by the word of His power. Right? All things that were created by Him, through Him, and for Him. Possess the faith of God. Have the faith of God. When we're talking about faith, we're not talking about something I've got to drum up inside of me. The man with the son, he didn't have to go sit for weeks in a seminar learning about faith. Faith came when Jesus said, "All things are possible if you believe." He believed what Jesus said. Why did he come to Jesus in the first place? Was it just a random act? He just happened to be walking down the street? No, he knew. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. When she had heard about Jesus, right? So the man has heard. Otherwise, he's not coming to him. You're not going to go to the doctor if you've never heard of the doctor. You're just like walking down the street. Oh, man, there's a doctor's office right there. I should go in. Right? Come on, I'm just being practical. He knew what Jesus was capable of. He knew what the disciples were going around and doing, right? He knew. He went. He knew that his son could be healed. He didn't know how the process worked. The process worked by all things are possible if you believe. All things are possible if you believe. All things are possible. Amen? Well, I told you we're going to close this down for this week. We've got probably several weeks of this coming up. I mean, how can you exhaust the faith of Jesus? Can you ever exhaust the faith of Jesus?